The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's why. Thanks.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing on this fine Friday, it's an FBI Friday. Our comedian of the week is Billy Gardell. Billy was supposed to be joining us out here at the Shenandoah location of Twin Peaks. Unfortunately, speaking of tweaks, he tweaked his back. And
yep, unable to make it.
Unable to make it, but we were able to get some clips thanks to Aaron and got some Billy's comedy out there. If you have a chance, he's going to tough it out, and he's going to do his comedy shows this weekend. So yeah. Make sure you go see him.
I had somebody hit me up and say, hey, what time is he at the joke joint? Ronnie did. And he is there tonight at 8 o'clock and then tomorrow 7 o'clock and 9:30. So
you may or may not be a part of it.
I will be there tonight at the 8 o'clock show, but I may not go up. It just depends. His feature is Don Lerner, who hooked us up with Billy last year, and Don's got some pressing issues as well of his own. So he was like, "Hey, could you want to come hang out and then maybe do a set if I can't be there on time?" I was like, "Yeah, that's cool. Love to work with Billy on stage. Absolutely." So
that's cool.
Yep.
I was bummed. Aaron was. We were bummed he's not here, but at least we're featuring him. So
no.
With that being said, we need to get to some sports.
Was that John McClain on the
TV?
That
was John McClain on the NFL Network.
Wow. That guy.
I'm just not.
No?
No.
I shouldn't?
I'm just. You can.
I feel like I've made too many enemies already. And
well,
why
stop
now? Local media. Like, I'm blocked by a whole station. So I feel like I'm doing this wrong.
You can always fall back on Patty Smith.
I need to be. See? I think I need to be nicer to people. I don't know. What happened? I don't know. It got weird over here.
Okay. Well, unweird it. Let's get into this.
Let's talk some sports now. We promised sports.
You know what? It's weird. It was almost an afterthought, but what the Rockets did to a good Denver Nuggets team last night was pretty darn impressive. And, again, of course, Harden's going to get his 38 points. Everybody's going to be talking about that. But the fact that Austin Rivers came out after the game and he said, if we play defense like we played last night,
yep. We're
capable of winning a championship. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that there's a lot of other variables, obviously, that have to come into play in terms of continuing to not just give James the ball and get out of the way. But one of the big key factors that we've said all season long is inconsistency on the defensive end. If they can establish some more consistency and they're capable of doing some things like they did last night, then maybe there's a chance that they can get a little deeper.
I agree with you about the inconsistency part. They have to be more consistent. When you look at the defense they played against Milwaukee versus the defense they played against the Nuggets, you look at the difference between a win and a loss. So I think he's right in the sense that if they play the best defense that they're capable of playing with their players and shoot the way they're capable of shooting and score the way that they're capable of scoring, they have just as good a chance as anyone in the league of winning a championship. But you have to have all those things through at least what?
Well,
three series?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they've been so inconsistent would be the reason why it would hold them back.
Here's where we disagree, too, because I'd say they'd have just as good a chance as anybody other than the Warriors of winning a championship.
So you don't think even if they play the best defense that they're capable of playing, shoot the way that they're capable of shooting, score the way they're capable of scoring, that they couldn't beat the Warriors in a seven-game series.
Didn't say that they couldn't. I think that there's different odds for the Warriors and everybody else because of the personnel that they have on their roster versus every other team in the league. I would say that they have as good a chance of anybody in the league of dethroning the Warriors. I would put the Warriors in a different category.
Okay.
And again, that's why I said we agree to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to brag, but I was 2-for-4 last night, or 2-for-2 in my picks last night in college basketball. So I pretty much know what I'm talking about.
Why don't you win? Okay, there we go.
Not a damn thing.
How much you win last night?
Yeah.
AJ didn't do as well as I was hoping for in this segment to back me up in the fact that when you put money on it, you may have a little bit more in tune with what's going on.
Last night was impressive. Do you feel like Capella's kind of feeling himself a little bit? He's getting a little showboaty.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think the most important thing is he's getting more comfortable taking shots, or he's not going to look at James and Chris every time he decides to let one fly.
You used the wrong C word. Confident. I feel like that's why he's showboating, is he is confident that he could play with any big man in the league. Now, Antetokounmpo, you know, abused him a little bit.
He's a different kind of big man, too.
He gets abused by some other guys, but I think right now Capella's confidence is at an all-time high, and that's great. And that's partly why he's, you know, shimmying down the floor, and a lot of it is predicated on how he gets the ball and where and what makes him look good. But I think he's very confident right now. But I just like, yo, just play the game, dude. I mean, it's good that you have fun and he's young. But
that's also where coaching's got to come into play,
too. That celebration stuff is going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah, because you're right. That's the kind of stuff that you could be playing well and doing all the things that you're saying. But you do something like that, and a guy that's having a bad night suddenly gets a fire lit under his rear end and decides, you know what, Capella, I got something for you, too.
Yeah.
And then it gets real interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I will say this, though. I do like the confidence that he has in the fact that when he touches the ball now, if it's not an alley-oop or something that's on the run from Chris or James, that he feels confident enough to go onto the low block, give you a baby hook, or maybe, you know, pull up a little 5'7"-footer. And that's something I don't think he would have done before because he knew he'd get some stink eye going down the other end of the floor.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's starting to develop a decent offensive game outside of just alley-oops. And I still want to see him, you know, continue to hit the rack hard, dunk. Thank God he doesn't lay it up soft anymore. You know, those weak little layups at the rim,
dude,
just drove me insane.
When I was working on the broadcast, doing the broadcast and working for the Rockets, I couldn't say it enough. If you're that close, especially
dunk
when you're not a good
ball.
Free throw shooter, you don't have any touch, just dunk everything. And you know what? If you miss the dunk, chances are you're going to get fouled anyway, but just dunk everything.
He's finally doing that.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, but you look at it, and again, I know that they're trying to get some guys some rest. They're resting Gerald Green. They're going to give some guys a little bit extended time on the bench. But
I'm still worried about Kenneth Faried not playing as much. I hope that this is just resting him for the playoffs so that they know they have a good backup for Capella because they can't count on Nene. But it worries me that he's still not playing.
The fact that this is lingering and they're not just saying it's rest means that I'm with you.
Which,
I think
you don't say rest anymore in the NBA, right? It's load management.
Right.
That's the buzzword right now in the NBA, load management. It's rest.
NBA players and porn stars, they have the same problem sometimes.
Oh, my God.
I'm just telling you.
Well, thank God I'm not eating. What was that? Why? That's so gross.
Just saying.
We didn't talk much about the Milwaukee game with the Rockets, but I'm sure you noticed this as well. And it's happened a couple of other times this year. But I feel like one of the keys to really getting a leg up on the Rockets is you can bully them. Like, Bledsoe bullied Harden for most of that game. He was in his face. He was taking it to him. Hard fouls. Like, press, you know, when Harden would bring the ball up the court, there was no break for James. He was basically Pat Beverly to Russell Westbrook. That's what Bledsoe was to Harden, and I felt like that impacted the whole team. Milwaukee came out and was more physical. They were more aggressive. They were kind of a bully on the court, and that's what scares me because teams like Golden State have bullies. Draymond Green will come out and bully you, and there's no one.
Boogie Cousins will. Bogut will.
Exactly, and so it worries me that when they do come up against a team that can be aggressive, that's not worried about pushing you and doing the things that we saw Bledsoe do against Harden, that's going to be an issue more than anything else. Their shots are going to fall. They're not going to fall. You can't control that. They're a little inconsistent on defense. But, man, watching that Milwaukee game, I thought, ooh, Bledsoe really, I think, has done what some other teams have done, and that's kind of pushed James Harden around a little bit.
So we talked about the fact that teams are looking for when they start scheming in a seven-game series for how to stop the Rockets. Mm-hmm. You also remember, and I don't want to use one of the key quotes and phrases that listeners have tagged on me.
Shouldn't have even.
But I want to go back and tell you that there used to be a formula that involved P.J. Tucker. And when P.J. Tucker joined the Rockets, it was one less guy that would use the formula that had a lot of success. Tony Allen used it. Jay Crowder used it. And that is bully him verbally, bully him physically, challenge him to see if he wants to scrap a little bit to show that he really doesn't, because he doesn't really want to fight. And that was a thing in the NBA for a while, and it's kind of gone away. And you're right. In the Milwaukee game, it wasn't like they came out and did that to an extreme, but they were definitely trying to see if they can get under his skin and see if they could draw him into a bad place that might help their team. You're going to see more of that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, in the playoffs, teams like Golden State, teams that have a guy that doesn't mind getting dirt, teams that have a Pat Beverly on their squad that'll get out there and, like, you know what, Bledsoe wasn't worried about points. He was filling it up that night, but he was being aggressive on the defensive end. That's a concern for me, because I'm not saying James Harden is soft. He's not soft. He's a tough dude. You can look at see how often he gets fouled and how often he's on the floor in a given game and how durable he's been. He's a tough guy.
There's a big difference,
but he doesn't like to be bullied.
Tough and street tough.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be bullied.
And there's still a lot of street toughness that comes into the NBA. And the other thing is, when you pair him up with a matchup with a team that doesn't think that they have as much talent as the Rockets, they're going to use that, and they're going to take a player off their bench, and they're going to say, you know what?
Go in there and bully him. Yeah.
I used to say that might be Montrezl Harrell, but now he's too valuable a chip for the Clippers.
Right.
But you could see them taking a certain guy, and again, I used to say Don Nelson used to call it his goon, but he had Paul Mokeski, and Paul Mokeski would go in the game, and his whole sole mission was to get in a fight with Charles Barkley. And there were times it worked. They both got thrown out. And at the end of the day, if you're going to trade off, I lose Barkley, Paul Mokeski, and you use Barkley, I'm good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Well, I had another point about, but we'll get to a break. We can talk more Rockets. Yep. And we'll definitely keep it sportsy for hour number two, because you guys are complaining. But I want to tell you right now about GetUpside, man. This is a great app. If you get gas in your vehicle, if you eat food, you should be using GetUpside. So basically, if you can hear my voice, there's no reason for you not to have GetUpside on your phone. It's completely free to download. Just go to your app store, whatever it is, iTunes, Google Play. Download GetUpside onto your phone. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I'm going to tell you why right now. Because GetUpside gets you cash back on gas, right? And you can get up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston. But when you put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, you're going to get extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. My wife got 30 cents cash back on her first fill up. Do not leave money at the pump. Download GetUpside. Start getting that cash back. We've had listeners tell us about $90 cash back in their account, $200 cash back in their account. Clarence got $5 the first two times he used it. I use it. AJ uses it. My wife uses it. Nick uses it. Tons of people are using this app. It's completely free. You need to download it. Do not leave money at the pump. Do not leave money at the table when you eat at Wendy's and Popeyes and Burger King. All those places have cashback offers through the GetUpside app, but only through the GetUpside app. So make sure you go out and download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. That's B-A-R-R-Y. Get that cash back and thank me later.
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you want to come out and say hi, we are at the Twin Peaks Shenandoah location out in the woodlands in Barry's backyard.
Yeah, I just got news. Yeah. Old Mom's Laminack is headed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Tony, my buddy Tony, just said that they're on their way.
Nice. A family affair today.
Yeah. She lives around the corner, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so that's good news. We'll have some family.
She will not be wearing a revealing top, Joel, so don't try that
with my
mom.
Will she be wearing her Rockets gear?
Rowdy Granny, I hope not. Oh my God, I'll leave. I'll quit. I'll take a vacation day if she comes as Rowdy Granny.
Mom, if you're
that
listening,
be awful.
Bring the Rockets gear and bring
like
it as quickly as possible.
You would like that. You're probably her favorite on this show. So.
Oh, stop it. So that'll be great. Blitz will be after us till 7 o'clock. So if you're not doing anything, maybe you're playing hooky on the north side and you want a great place to do it. Fantastic location for Twin Peaks here. Lots of room, lots of parking, great food, great drinks, 29-degree beers, all the screens you need for Astros and all the basketball tonight. But you can stop in and say hi to us and the Blitz, and we'd love to see you. So there you have it.
A couple of tweets. Jeremy May said, just catching the show late, but how long before Harper regrets going to Philly? I don't think he's going to regret it because of the money.
Money, right.
But how awesome is it? I actually, you know, I do the Sunday show with Jerome on Houston Sports Show.
Uh-huh.
Comes on Channel 2, 11:30. Mm-hmm. Sweet free plug there.
Yep.
And I have the BS segment, Barry on Sports.
Yep.
And we always write jokes about the headlines. One of the jokes I wrote that did not make the cut was about Bryce Harper getting booed in his first at bat for strikeout. And I'll be damned if he didn't get a hit in game one. And Philly's already booing Bryce Harper.
So,
hilarious.
So they gave
predictable,
him
but hilarious.
Yeah, they gave him a pass because he hit it hard in his first at bat to first base. Hit a laser, but the first baseman made a nice play. But then they walked him in his second at bat. Third at bat, he strikes out, and it is just the boo birds everywhere. And my mother-in-law is watching the highlights with me, and she goes, now, is that normal? I go, no, that's Philadelphia. That's exactly what that is. That's not normal.
They booed a baby in a stroller. Yeah. They're going to boo Bryce Harper.
They had a court.
They don't care.
A courtroom with a judge in the stadium in the old Vet when the Eagles played there. Yeah. They hit Santa in the eye with a snowball.
Yeah, it's not. Trust me, Bryce Harper is not immune. His average better be at least .750 for the year. If he wants to stay out of hot water in Philly, they're not the sharpest fan base.
And the thing
send me all your hate, Philly. I don't care.
You can get all the money in the world, but I think that's one of the reasons why Bryce Harper had some reservations about signing with Philadelphia, because he knew he was in an environment in D.C. where he was the cover boy. He was the perfect guy that could do no wrong.
Yeah.
And in Philly, if you stink, they're gonna call you out.
They're going to boo your ass.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So,
all right, couple more things, and then I want to get to this whole Oilers Texans throwback jersey thing. But somebody brought this up. Did y'all see the picture of a home in Kentucky with a sign that said, "We're going to finish what Harvey started"? Did you see this?
Someone tweeted us. Jay sent it to us as well.
Yeah. Thoughts on that?
Brutal. But not surprising. Think about it. When the Astros played the Yankees, people brought it up.
I wish someone in Houston would make a sign and put the UH logo on it and put, "We're going to finish what poverty and inbreeding started," and put it on their front porch. Because Kentucky, trust me, I've been to Kentucky. You know what they call a good-looking person in Kentucky? Passing through. It's an awful state. It's a god-awful state. I mean, and to come out and to make fun of a tragedy for a college basketball game, it shows you and confirms the level of intelligence that a redneck, backwards state like that would have.
Yeah, and again, they're known for making alcohol, whiskey, and all that stuff. Yeah. There's not a, you should say Kentucky, not a drink in the world can make you forget what you experience in this state.
It's awful.
I mean, it's just, you know, but again, we saw it with Yankee fans. We saw it with Nick Lachey. We saw it with Nick Lachey when his Cincinnati team got beat by the U of H, and he started making all kinds of – he goes, oh,
That's a little bit different, though.
But you get a pass because you have to live in Houston every day.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
That's just city-on-city violence.
Dodger fans,
we've been dealing with that with Dallas for years, so that's not a big deal.
Dodger fans, Yankee fans.
But to take something that costs the people of this city billions of dollars and lives and you know, like jobs and – like, you got to be a pretty dumbass state to try to use a tragedy to pump up your basketball team. That's an embarrassment. Like, it's just awful. I don't know.
But again,
I have a lot of things I can't say on the radio that I would say about it.
I was tagged on a lot of these that were hurricane-related.
Yeah.
Just really way out-of-bounds comments that were made by Dodger fans, Yankee fans. And they think it's because someone gets away with it or someone does it, that it becomes the norm,
they
like
it's
okay.
Funny.
And it's not.
Yeah.
It's not okay. It's going too far and taking it way past sports.
Which Dodger fans shouldn't be doing that with all the tragedies that goes on in California and L.A. I mean, you've got wildfires, you got earthquakes, you got anorexia. Like, you know how many people they lose every year because of those three things?
Yes, and not to mention the fact that they could soon become the Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball if they keep just making great runs and then just falling short.
Exactly. A couple more sports texts. Do you think the Astros lineup will hit for more power? How can they get back to being the best offense in baseball? What? Dude, we're one game in.
And you won the game. And
I swear,
by the way,
I should block you on the text line. One, because they didn't hit eight home runs like the Dodgers did on opening day. You had Altuve, Springer, and the newest addition, Michael Brantley.
Wait, who?
All go yard.
Because before we got off the air, you were like, "Oh, Joel, way to go! There's your guy, Michael Brantley, striking out. Looks like crap." And then we're in the car, and I'm like, "No, wait a minute. We should still be on the Michael Brantley just went deep."
Yeah, well, Justin Verlander's obviously going to go undefeated.
I'll tell you what.
Remember when he gave up the homer, Joel was like, "Oh, look at that. He's lost it.
I didn't say he lost it. I'm like, not a good start. But, boy, he finished well. He only gave up three. He got out of a couple jams early, gave up three hits.
They showed the pitch count, threw his changeup 11 times, which is a good sign. Yeah. Did not rely on the fastball, which he didn't hit 98. It's game one. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about velo with Verlander for sure. But 96 after getting started, average 94, but topped out at like 96, 97. So that's a good sign. Didn't rely on the fastball. Less than 50 of his 100-and-something pitches were fastball. So Justin Verlander was dealing last night or yesterday. Calm down about the Astros offense. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, and if there's one guy that knows his body and knows exactly what he can and can't do on any given start or how to pace himself through the start of a season, it's Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
A lot of these young guys are just in there just winging it and just, you know, thinking that they're invincible, kind of Nuke Lelouch-ish.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that knows. I'm sure you won't see that fastball count stay the same. I'm sure as he starts to get into the
feel it.
Yeah, the middle of the season, he'll be unleashing the fastball more. But a smart start got them a victory against a very good pitcher. I saw a stat that said, you know, Snell gave up 5 runs. He only did that twice all of last season.
Yeah.
So the fact that the Astros were able to tag him in the first game of the season against the Cy Young Award winner should give you a good.
Snell was more of the Snell from his first couple of years than he was from his last year in winning the Cy Young. That's for sure.
But that should give you a response to that text message or that tweet that, hey, look, if you can tag the last year's Cy Young Award winner with a 5 spot,
yeah,
you're doing okay.
Yeah, not bad.
Offensively.
Somebody said Kentucky's a backwards-ass state, but come on, one fan and or a handful doesn't represent a whole state. No, I've been to Kentucky. I stand by what I said. You can save that. In fact, Robert and Tomball said, we smart Kentuckians got out as soon as we could, but 99% of Kentucky would frown upon that sign. I don't know about that. Joel, did you see Tiger's left-handed yesterday? Does he have a chance against Rory tomorrow in the round of 16?
Oh, I think he does. I think that he's playing better and better. Look, there's no better tactician in the sport in terms of what he can do and the way with his creativity and his thinking. You talk about a guy that thinks out every shot. Dude can do just things like it's like having a toolbox, the way he can hit shots.
Yeah.
I just saw him, and it says live, but I saw him on Golf Channel hole out from about 150 yards just
like
now.
Like I do.
So the bottom line is, if he's playing like that, he's still capable of being the best in the world, so I think he does have a chance.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got a little golf talk. Granado's jealous. We're going to continue to roll on in hour number 2. It is a 3-hour show. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. From the Twin Peaks in Shenandoah, stop on by and see us. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the Usual Suspects and the Big Show as we come to you live from Twin Peaks in Shenandoah, right in the Woodlands. It's Barry, it's me, it's Barry's mom.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to meet your mom.
Mom's Laminack in the house. She came out here to check out all the hot chicks.
She wore her Rockets gear for me?
No, she didn't come as Rowdy Granny.
No, but she wore a Rockets
shirt.
She
knew I would have turned her around and told her to get the hell out of here.
That's not very
not
nice.
Doing that. Not
it's great
that.
To see the fact that you have a fan club table led by your mom here. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, they're all family. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, mom's is here, and then her best friend who passed, her name's Linda. That's Linda's husband and her sons.
Okay, very cool.
Out here to support, show some love.
So that's why we don't do more remotes on your side of town.
Why?
Because you're just going to fill up the whole room with the family.
No, I mean, that's all. I love
the support. It's fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely. As well, you should. All right, so we were talking a little bit off air about the games last night. You were spot on.
Nailed it. Two for two.
Yeah.
Oh, two
or
for
two,
four.
Two and two.
Yeah. Two and two. Yeah.
Some
I should
bad
say.
Basketball last night.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you didn't watch it.
I'll take your word for it. I did peep a little bit at the end of that Tennessee game.
Great ending. Now, did you see the foul or not foul?
I did not.
Because there's a lot of controversy. I believe there was 1.7 left on the clock. Purdue had the ball down by two and got a three off. They called a foul on it. Three free throws, two out of three, and we're headed to overtime. A lot of people don't think it was a foul. Some people thought that.
So I was right about Tennessee winning, is what you're telling me.
Not exactly.
They should have won.
They should have won. It was a controversial call.
Give
Let's
it
just
to
say
me,
this.
Joel.
No, it was a controversial call.
I should have
went
3-1, not 2-2, is what you're telling me. And Oregon really should have beat Virginia. I should have been 4-0. I'm a genius at college basketball.
The only way Oregon beats Virginia is because just it was so mucked up of a game. It was just ugly basketball. But that game and the Texas Tech Michigan game were just awful.
Yeah.
But someone has to win.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Tonight, thoughts on because people are already asking who you have in the Kentucky UH game, tonight's games. How you feeling about the Cougars' chances of advancing to the Elite Eight?
Obviously, the big thing is if Washington plays or not. He's their best player, and if he does play, at what level will he play the game? Is he going to be?
Right.
He's not going to be 100%. He's been in a walking cast for over a week. So you got to find out what he can do if he's on the floor. That's advantage U of H. I think U of H has to – they have to play their style of play. They have to play helter-skelter on defense. They have the athletes in order to match up with a lot of Kentucky positions. But Kentucky has some very talented bigs. U of H has some serviceable bigs. They struggle at the free throw line.
Yep.
They're not exactly very fluid on the low post. But I think that if they can make some three – they make their threes early and they play a highly up-tempo transition game, I give them a shot. I really do.
I was looking at the breakdown just statistically. One thing Houston does a little better than Kentucky is rebound the ball. About the same in steals, about the same in blocks. Field goal percentage, Kentucky has a slight edge there. Points per game, about the same. I dare say these two teams are pretty evenly matched for the most part. I mean,
the biggest thing is that, and you and I have talked about this as well, but the one thing we haven't talked about is the way they're not evenly matched is Calipari is going to get nothing but five stars.
Well,
whereas
I'm saying productivity.
Right. Whereas Kelvin's going to try and turn some 2 and 3 stars into playing like five stars from time to time. And the big thing on the flip side is U of H has a ton of experience because of the gut and the grit that he has instilled in these kids. They've been there and experienced heartache and with a chance to get to the Sweet 16 a year ago. They are definitely they've weathered the storm and their experience. You look at Kentucky, they're almost all going to be one and dones.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the biggest stage that they've played on. Some of them are ready for it. Some of them you just don't know.
That's a great point. And, I mean, when you look at what, like, the Pick Center on ESPN page, I mean, Kentucky being a two-point favorite, they're a minus 145. U of H is a plus 125. All of that tells me, too, that even the odds makers think this is a pretty even matchup. I mean, a two-point spread isn't that much.
Right.
Being a minus 145 isn't that much. And, I mean, seed-wise, it's a two versus three. But I kind of feel like here's the problem. And I know I'm going to piss off some U of H fans, including Moms Laminack, who graduated from U of H.
Oh, gosh.
Huge Cougar fan.
There you go. Yeah.
But this city and the teams in this city are notorious for having a letdown or a meltdown at big points. And I really feel like tonight could be one of those things. I want to pick U of H. I want them to win this game. I'm going to be rooting my ass off for the Cougars to win this game. But I feel like that this could be one of those things where they either win it and it's great or they get blown out. And I'm worried about the second part because Houston has this cloud over us a lot of times and when it comes to sports. And my Houston in me comes out when a game like this occurs and happens. And I get nervous because I think, well, the most Houston thing that would happen, and not Cougars, I'm saying Houston as a sports city, mm-hmm. the most Houston thing that would happen is they lose this in spectacular fashion.
Well, and you know what? And then you throw in the added kind of variable of the fact that the rumors are out there that Kelvin is being courted by Arkansas and
maybe
his
ex-AD.
and the fact that there's a chance that he could leave, even though everybody is pumping up that Tillman's going to open up the purse strings and try and pay him.
Yeah.
He got asked about it yesterday. He tried to make it a joke. But the fact of the matter is it's a real, real deal.
Yeah.
Fred, on the other hand, has said the people that he knows that he's talked to have said he's not going anywhere. They said they've offered him top 15 coach-type money.
Yeah.
But we just don't know, and that's going to be a variable that's going to be out there. His players can either say we're going to win this one for coach,
yep,
and we're going to play hard for him, or they can, especially the underclassmen, are going to start going, hey, man, this could be it for us. And if coach isn't going to be here, their mind starts working on other things, and then you lose focus. And
well,
then
that's
you,
what worries
you run
me,
that's what I'm saying. Then you run into your situation.
That's what worries me. I want this team to advance, and I think that they have the talent to be able to beat this Kentucky team, especially if Washington doesn't play. But it just makes me nervous as a Houston sports fan who's lived through since 19, well, yeah, I mean, I was born in 74, but probably 1980 is when I started remembering Houston sports. I've seen a lot of disappointment come through the city, and this worries me that that could be the same thing.
I've said it over and over again, though, Barry. The one thing that encourages me is this is the true definition of a team because of the fact that they play both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
They do everything Kelvin asks them to do. They are gutty, the gritty, determined, athletic, in the wings. Again, some people may argue with me, but they don't have a star player per se. They have several guys that can be the star on any given day. And that's the kind of thing that gives them that kind of a feared mentality amongst some of the big-time schools,
yeah,
that say, hey, that's a buzzsaw we don't want to run into. If we can avoid playing that team, there's a lot of the big-time programs that would rather play Kentucky than play U of H. Because
you think so?
Yeah, because of the fact that Kentucky's got one guy wounded already that's their best
right
player. And the fact that, the experience factor. And I think across the board, you don't see a Duke lineup coming out there for Kentucky. You see guys that may develop into NBA players. You don't see guys NBA ready like some of the guys on Duke. Therefore, I think that some of those teams, Virginia wouldn't want to see U of H. Just simply because
I can see that. Plus, I mean, the fact that, I mean, U of H isn't a big team, but they get after you on the boards. Yep. They can knock down
that's
the three,
I mean.
And yeah, you have to be able to all facets of the game. You have to be ready to play. And when we talked about the fact when we had Kelvin Sampson on and just breaking down this team, there's no quit in this U of H team. They're going to give you until the final buzzer. You're going to get 100% effort from every player on that squad, and you can't say the same thing about a lot of the teams that are left in the tournament.
And here's the thing: I mean, for all that you just said that you thought you might piss off U of H fans.
Yeah.
I don't want to piss them off, but I do want them to be on red alert because of the fact that this situation to me, as much as I thought Kelvin would stay no matter what, this has Tom Hitt-
really?
This has the Tom Herman scenario all over again.
You know what worries me about you saying that is that you know him very well.
Yeah, I just
he got me so excited. He got U of H. He got you know, Cougar fans.
That's what I'm saying.
Like Mom's Laminac.
Didn't Tom Herman do the same thing?
Excited. Yeah, but I feel like Kelvin getting his family here is what made the difference to me. Tom didn't have his family working for the program. When you have your son working for the program, when you have your daughter working for the program, that makes me feel a little different. Like, hey, I have some investment here. Tom, we always knew Tom was looking for a big deal.
Okay, so you're Kelvin Sampson.
Okay.
Right, I'm Mac Rhodes. I hired you at U of H. I'm at Arkansas now. You just told me everything that you just said, and I say to you, I got more boosters than Tillman Fertitta. They got maybe not as much money, but together they got a whole lot. And if you need to hire your daughter and your son to be a part of this program, and that's going to be the difference of getting you here or leaving you stay at Houston, come on down.
So
we got
you play in the hotbed of Arkansas.
I mean, sure, that's a challenge.
The hotbed of
but
SEC
he doesn't have,
basketball.
He also
and I get the AAC.
But he also,
no
he's in the
either.
SEC, so you can easily make a statement if you can get on that top tier.
Where would you rank Houston basketball from a recruiting standpoint in the country versus Arkansas?
Here's the thing. We told him to take it because of the hotbed of talent in Houston.
Exactly.
But here's the problem. Look at all the guys he's recruited so far to date.
Uh-huh.
Not a lot of Houston recruits. A lot of some Texas recruits and Louisiana recruits, but not that heart of the city of Houston top 25 players list. That's why I think, to some degree, he's also looking for the situation. They already have a big arena.
Yeah.
Because the one thing he doesn't want to do is go to another situation where they give him a lot of money, but he's got to get all the funds built for another practice facility, another arena.
But that's a good point. I mean, you just went through everything he went through. Do you want to do that again?
He doesn't, but he doesn't have to do it at Arkansas. They got a big-ass arena.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of filling it. There you go. That's something to consider, but definitely I'm pulling for the Cougs, and obviously for a lot of reasons. I want to see them succeed and do well, but it should be a big game. They're the last game of the night tonight, so make sure that you take some caffeine and coffee.
What time is the game?
9 o'clock Houston time. 8:59, I believe, is tip. So that's going to be the last game of the night, but some good games tonight. Duke and Virginia Tech as well will be playing amongst the other games tonight, so we'll keep an eye on those. Auburn and Carolina, Kenny Smith versus Charles Barkley. Nice. In a matchup, so that'll be fun to at least listen to their commentary on. And LSU doing really good things, even without their head coach.
Go Tigers.
As they go and take on Michigan State. So those are your four games. If you guys want to kick it around and chew it up about that, give us a call. No, actually, don't give us a call. Text us, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny and at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and we'll be happy to get your stuff out here on the show and continue to roll on. So we've got plenty more to get to. We look forward to continuing until 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God. Justify.
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Everybody in L.A. gives their kids medicine. That's how they parent. They go, oh, he had ADD. We had to give him some Ritalin. That's him drooling right there with the crayon. We didn't have Ritalin. Now, what happens when you had ADD when I was a kid? My dad would get an inch from your face and go, pay attention! Oh. I'm cool, I'm cool. They got away from me for a minute, but I'm all right now, I'm okay.
As our comedian of the week, Billy Gardell. Really looking forward to him being here, but unfortunately he had a little bit of a back injury. Couldn't make it in person. He will be performing this weekend. Barry will give you the times and all the information again. Barry will be there tonight, but hopefully performing with him. But Billy is hilarious, and he's a friend of the show, so we love having him around.
Mike and Molly's son, Rickards, young Sheldon. Yes, dear, my name is Earl. You, me, and Dupree. Bad Santa.
Bad Santa,
I mean, the dude has done it all. Emmy-nominated. Great dude, funny guy, big sports fan. He really wanted to come out and talk mess about the Pirates. But, Joke Joint Comedy Showcase tonight at 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow at 7 and 9:30 or 7:30 and 9, I don't know which. JokeJointComedyShowcase.com.
I-45 in Fuquay.
I-45 south of Fuquay.
Within the city limits.
I already told Aaron if he wanted to go. He's a fan of Billy's. If he wanted to go, I'll hook him up. So.
He is Mike of Mike and Molly. He is funny, so that's that. You know what was interesting? We talked about it a little bit, but everybody made a big deal of this whole thing where first DeAndre Hopkins had the picture of him wearing, you know, superimposed in an Oilers uniform, saying this would be a great look we should do. J.J. Watt again started retweeting pictures that he had worn of the Earl Campbell jersey saying we should do this.
Yep.
And the one thing that they failed to realize is the fact that if you've been in this city for any length of time at all, you know, and you and I have talked about the fact that some of the greatest players in Oilers history's jerseys hang in Tennessee in their stadium where they don't belong.
Yep.
And that's just the start of what was a long and ridiculous mess that continues between the Adams family and not that Adams family from TV, but Bud, and now that he's passed away, Amy, I believe it's his daughter making the decision.
Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah.
Said, because there was talk of DeAndre and wanting the throwbacks, and she came out and said, very interesting, except the Oilers don't have anything to do with the Texans, so that's a hard no. Well, suck it, Strunk. You have ruined the Oilers, you and your, is it dad? Was that her dad?
Yeah, dad, Bud, yep.
Yeah, thanks for ruining the Oilers and a great tradition of fun, not winning, but fun football. The old love you blue days and Bum Phillips coming back to the Astrodome. And last year we knocked on the door and this year we're going to kick that son of a bitch in and all that. That was fun times, man. I remember that. And the Bud Adams and the Titans ruined that for this city and moved on. I feel like here's what I would do, okay? Here's what I would do. I have money because I'm Cal McNair. I'm the Houston Texans, and my players want this. You know what I'd do? I'd go out and get a few shades lighter of every color, and I'd make my own damn uniforms. And I would be like, you know what, Amy, suck it. You don't own a patent on baby blue. Yours is Columbia blue. We'll go with baby blue. We'll go with Carolina blue. We'll go with another blue. We'll keep Battle Steel red and whatever stupid white name we gave it. But we can still do this without your permission. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
I would tweak it a little bit as an ode, as a throwback to the old Houston Oilers.
It's just the most misfit setup, and we've seen it before. Obviously, when Art Modell went through everything with. Yeah. You know, leaving for Baltimore, or when the Colts left Indy. Yeah. And all these different things. But there's not a, in terms of the fact that when you look at it and when you walk into that stadium in Tennessee and you see Bruce Matthews, you see Earl Campbell, and you're like, that's not Tennessee.
No.
That's Houston.
Tennessee is Steve McNair and Eddie George. They were here in Houston at the beginning of their career, but when they made a name for themselves, when they went to the Super Bowl,
you can understand
it, was
it a little bit
Titans.
Because they still played for the Titans. Yeah, they went to the
So totally
you give that. But Earl and Pastorini and Bum, like you said, Bruce
Kenny
Matthews,
Stabler, all that.
White Shoes Johnson, go up and down the list.
Ernest
and all
Givens,
those records.
The run and shoot, all that is Houston Oilers.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, when you're looking at, say, the running back position, and you say that there's a Tennessee Titan that's approaching the rushing records of the franchise that are held by Earl Campbell. What?
It's nauseating.
It is.
It's nauseating.
It's disgusting.
And it further solidifies what this town thought of Bud Adams and the family and the ownership of the former Oilers and now Titans, that they were just a bunch of a-holes. And the fact that you wouldn't let the city have that. I'm not suggesting you give the Oilers' name back. Okay, I'm not saying that, because if you own that, you own that.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
That's fine. Pretty much every other team that's moved, though, like, if I'm not mistaken, the Colts got to keep theirs in Indy once they moved. The Browns didn't. That wasn't there a move where the Browns got to keep theirs? So I just, I'm not saying give it back. What I'm saying is you could let this city throw back to the old Oilers days.
See, I'm taking it a step further, though. That record book of Oiler records should be in Houston with their franchise.
I mean, I agree, but it's never going to happen. But what's the problem with letting them wear a throwback uni 1 week? What's the harm in that?
Here's the biggest problem.
There's no harm in that. You're just being an a-hole and a jerk.
You know why she's doing this? For a lot of reasons. Because this was the Bud Adams wanted.
She was raised wrong.
Bud Adams wanted to do everything that he wanted to do while he did it in Houston.
Yep.
The fact that he couldn't get it done, and the way that his final tantrum was, "I'm leaving town." To try and punish Houston, his final FU was, and by the way,
I'm taking
the Oilers and all the colors and everything with me, and all the records and all the retired jerseys, and that someday, it might not come up now, but she knew that her old man still had an axe to grind to say, you screwed me over, and he was not liked. And the things that he tried to do and the things he pulled and the statements he made him easy to not like. But this was his final FU on the way out going, you know what? I got you, though.
If Bud Adams ever went into the NFL Hall of Fame, which hairpiece do you think he would go in with? Would it be the Oilers hairpiece or the Titans hairpiece? All right. I'm just being mean because I don't like Bud Adams, okay?
I don't know anybody that spent any length of time in this city that does.
Ugh, that just disgusts me. What's the problem with letting this city throw back one time?
But you
one
asked
time.
That. You asked that, Barry. But it's the same thing with
saying,
what's the problem with? I know, but what's the problem with letting the records be where they should be? Look, you started a new franchise.
That's a permanent thing, though. A one game throwback uni on a Thursday night isn't hurting anybody.
I get it.
They don't own it. They don't get to keep it. But to let them do that one time,
because then they win.
And then she's like, oh, well, the Texans have nothing to do with the Titans. Well, no kidding. But you have nothing to do with the Oilers. You weren't even around like that. Oh.
Well, here's the other thing. You saw what she
said. I have so many curse words I'd like to use.
As another final FU, you saw what she said too?
No.
That's a hard no for them, but it's something we may consider doing with the Titans in the future.
Vomit.
Can you imagine if the Titans came out in the Love You Blue?
Oh, my gosh. Woo, boy.
Houston people would lose their minds. And you know what?
That would be worse is if they did it here.
Oh, my God, because they play them twice. Oh,
exactly.
Boy.
Could you imagine not just doing it like, oh, on a Sunday versus the Ravens, you know, just a random-ass game, but if they did Oilers throwbacks as the Titans in Houston, oh, my God, I'm going to condone throwing things on the field. I would never do that in a million years. But if we find out that the Titans are going to play in Houston and throw back to the Oilers' jerseys, I'm going to go on record as saying everyone should take, like, eggs to the game and egg the players.
Because
I'll send me your letter, NFL. I don't care.
I'd love to tell you I'm making this up.
That's
but
disgusting.
She literally said it's something we should consider with the Titans.
Oh, that would be so bad.
You want to talk about a final FU?
Oh, boy.
Man. A national TV game against the Titans.
You know what? If I'm the Texans, what I would do is I would just, my helmets, I would spray paint hair pieces on all of them. Just to get back at
Bud
Adams.
Bill O'Brien, I come out with a cowboy hat and a sheepskin vest and look like Bum Phillips for a day. Say, so you can take all the colors you want.
That's right.
Man, that's...
That would make me angry for sure.
That is definitely going to stir some things up. All right, speaking of stirring things up, we got 60 minutes to do so. We're still going to have the final hour of the show. Then we're going to go over to Fred, AJ, Aaron, and the Blitz. They're here as well. It is the Twin Peaks in Shenandoah in the Woodlands, I-45 location. Come on out and see us. See Fred, AJ, and Aaron. Have yourself an early start to the weekend and a fun Friday on an FEF Friday on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.